strap on the boots and scrape up the knuckles.
Oh, what a hit!
He got jacked.
This is the Big Red Rage with Carlos Dansby.
The Filthy Bird is back!
Presented by Santan Ford.
Carlos Dansby with a pick six!
Carlos Dansby coming out of the cage, and he's mad!
The Rage is brought to you by Santan Ford in Gilbert. We are Santan Ford. University of Phoenix, the official education partner of the Arizona Cardinals. And by Hickman's Family Farms, providing local fresh eggs to markets since 1944. Visit us online at hickmanseggs.com.
The Red Sea is rising up for Carlos.
Temperature rising, vision blurring, rage taking over.
From Marley Sports Grill at the Chandler Fashion Center.
Hey guys, where else would you rather be?
Here's Paul Calvisi.
Get the popcorn ready. It's going to be a show.
Ron Wolfley.
It doesn't get any better than that.
And Carlos Dansby.
There's that filthy bird.
Unleash the fury!
Here we go.
Yeah.
Tis the season.
Sir,
football season. I'll tell you what, the real Thursday night football is right here, right now, the Big Red Rage. And if Congress can't get anything done in D.C., then you know what? We're going to send Carlos Dansby in. And Los is going to put the D into D.C. this Sunday.
Oh, man.
How's that sound?
Oh, it sounds great. Sound great. I'm ready.
Yeah.
Here we go, Los. Now we're talking about what? How many games have we played right now? 13 games.
Yes, sir.
Week 14, of course. With the bye. How's the body feeling right now?
Man, Wolf, man, I added a whole new wrinkle to the game plan.
What'd you do, man? What are you doing now?
Breaking news here.
Yeah. Breaking news. Well, it's an old piece of equipment that I had a couple years prior. You know what I'm saying?
Break out the Nautilus? Is that what you're saying?
No, man. It's just an infrared sauna, man.
What?
Infrared sauna.
What?
Infrared sauna.
Yeah, man. I got a little two-seater, man. Got a little two-seater at the house. And I had it for years, man. And I really didn't really take advantage of it like I normally would with everything else that I do.
Now, Lowe's, tell me about this. What exactly is it supposed to do?
I put it into the fold. And, man, when I tell you my body feels great right now, I mean, like, night and day. You know what I'm saying? I know the hyperbaric is one thing.
Right.
And it takes me to a certain place.
And I
love the way that feels. But after that, after the game this weekend, and I got in Monday, and then I got in Tuesday, oh, man, it was like night and day.
So, okay, what exactly is it supposed to do, infrared sauna?
It's supposed to do a lot of things, man. It's supposed to help you rejuvenate your body, release natural, I want to say hormones and natural stuff in your body. Break up, take out all the toxins. And, man,
Wow. Oh, man.
I'm feeling great right now. I'm feeling great right now. Great.
So this is an infrared sauna as opposed to your typical sauna, traditional sauna where the rocks and the water and steam. This is infrared.
Infrared, man. That's the way to go.
Is there still steam like in this thing?
No steam. No steam, but you're going to sweat.
Why the sauna then?
You're going to sweat.
Yeah.
You're going to sweat.
So what, are you just bombarded by this light or something like that? Is that what it is?
Just heat. Straight heat.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing.
You don't have to wear like a lead suit or anything, like an X-ray or anything like that.
No, not at all.
It's all safe.
Lois, where do you have this stuff? I mean, is it out in the garage?
This is in the house.
Is it in a shed somewhere?
No, it's in a corner, man. I got it tucked off in a little corner, man. And it's just been sitting there, man, for years. You know, and I finally just jumped in and said, you know what, I'm going to take me some time and just sit up in this so I can see what it really do.
I would absolutely love for you to have a yard sale.
It'd be awesome.
So you're obviously not claustrophobic.
Not at all.
Because if you get in the infrared sauna and then you're going to sleep in the hyperbaric chamber, you're good in tight quarters.
Oh, man, without a doubt. You want me in a tight situation, man. So you're going to see me rise to the occasion, you know what I'm saying, and be the best I can be.
So, but you said the infrared sauna. You said that's a two-seater?
It's a two-seater, man. Wow. It's small, look, compact.
Where do you buy this stuff from?
I found it, man. I found it a long time ago, man. This old school Hill Wolf, man.
Who turned you on to that? Do you remember? Was it a guy on the team? Maybe Darnell Dockett?
No, it was a combination of people, man. A combination of naturopathic doctors and people that I came in contact with through my journey, man.
Okay.
Out here in AZ, man. Like I said, man, they opened my eyes to this health and wellness stuff, man. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
That's so cool. You need your own website. Honestly, you're wondering, what are you going to do after your playing days? You know, you'll probably play another 5 years. And then you need a post-football career. You need to go into, you know, the antioxidant ways of football by Carlos Danson.
Oh, man, that sounds good. You know? That sounds real good. I appreciate it, Bob. I might have to give you a little percentage on that.
The fountain of Los.
Well, I tell you what, you got to do something because, I mean, we're talking about the NFL active leader in career tackles now with 1,394 and 210 games.
Wow.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Oh, man.
And the beat goes on.
And we're also talking about the leading tackler on the Cardinals team with 88 this season through 13 games as you continue your march towards another 100-tackle season. I think that'll be your 10th 100-tackle season. But we got to talk about a young guy who's an up-and-comer, and he is next. The Big Red Rage, Carlos Dansby, all presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford. Gabbert takes the snap, play-action pass. Gabbert fires far side on the goal line, and the catch is made for a touchdown by Seals Jones. His first NFL touchdown.
Nobody expected it, and there's Ricky Seals Jones on the out, and Gabbert sticks him in between the pipes.
Gabbert back to throw, pumps left, now throws it deep far side. Back shoulder caught by Seals Jones at the 5 and into the end zone for the touchdown.
Pigs will fly, will they not, Ricky Seals Jones? I mean, that's one of those balls where everyone goes, no, don't, oh, yes. Yes, baby!
Gabbert looks over the middle. Seals Jones wide open. Caught at the 10 of the 5. Touchdown! This guy's a star! Ricky Seals Jones with 3 touchdowns in 3 halves.
Wow!
There you go, Wolf. That wow had about 10 W's on the end of it. Very well done. How about 4 games now, 10 grabs for 190 yards, 3 touchdowns, and in case you guys are wondering, the only rookie tight ends with more touchdown catches so far this season are all first-round draft picks.
Wow.
Think about that as we welcome you back into the Big Red Rage. Carlos Dansby and his very special guest. I'll let you take the intro from there.
Big Red Rage, can you please give a round of applause to Ricky Seal Jones? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Man.
Ricky, are you a tight end or a wide receiver? Let's start with that right there. Are you a tight end? Do you consider yourself a tight end or a wide receiver?
Both. I'm going to go with both.
You're going to go with it? No, that's a good answer right there. You would consider yourself to be that legendary tweener, as we say, right?
Yeah. We can go with that one.
Maybe the better moniker is just matchup problem. You know, Wolf, I mean, you know, just go ahead and put hashtag matchup issue, because whenever Bruce Arians talks about you, he talks about the matchup problems you present for defenses. Right, Carlos?
I'm going to go on the record right now and say it. The evolution. I keep speaking about the evolution of the game and how the game evolves. He's the evolution of the game. You know what I'm saying? The game is evolving, man. And this is the product that's being put out right now. And he's the perfect prime example, man, to show the world how the game is just evolving.
So when you say that, Los, what you're talking about is the game getting to a point where there are going to be nothing but tweeners for the most part on every team, right?
You're
going to have a Ricky Seals Jones,
yes, sir,
on every team. Do you believe that, Ricky?
I do. Honestly do. You know, a lot of guys that are big like me that, you know, a lot of people say are not fast enough, and then you move them to tight end, and it's just a mismatch problem.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a lot of guys are relating to that, especially my size.
Mm. I mean, Carlos, tell us about Ricky Seals Jones through the eyes of a linebacker, because a lot of times a linebacker ends up, when he flexes out into the slot, they're in space against a guy like him, right?
It's a problem. That's all I can say, man. It's a serious problem, man. And the thing about it, he got me in training camp. You know what I'm saying? So, and then he's been working throughout the season, you know what I'm saying, day in and day out, just making me better with my techniques against a tight end. And, you know what I'm saying, like I said, he's the evolution of the game. And if you learn how to use them, you know what I'm saying, it's going to be a serious, serious problem out on the field. And as you see, the numbers don't lie.
Because
the numbers do not lie.
It's not like a running back that flexes out. Now you got a guy who's a polished route runner who has all this experience as a receiver, right?
Yes, sir. And he can catch the ball in tight quarters. You know what I'm saying? And that's the thing that separates him from everybody else, especially at the tight end position. He's that tweener. His hands are like a receiver hand, so if you throw it in certain areas, he's going to go catch it. and hold on to it. You know, that's just a beautiful thing.
Ricky, where is your confidence level right now?
Very high. You know, played first game, you know, when I got the chance in Texas against the Texans, you know, I was a little nervous. But then, you know, once the Florida game started going, it was like backyard football, you know, peewee to college to high school. So, you know, once you get out there and the game just slows down and, you know, you just go have fun, you just play. And once it came to me, it was over with then.
And then you had your quarterback in a way because you had spent so many times, so many reps on the practice squad with Blaine Gabbert.
Right.
There must have been a comfort level there.
Oh, yeah. You know, even when we were P squad practice, Blaine would, similar to routes that we'd show for, you know, the one defense, he would call out our plays, like running like this, running like that. So once I got in the game, it was natural. You know, I kind of saw what he saw, what he was feeling, and it was just a connection from then.
That first touchdown that you scored, it was out of 13 personnel, at least what I call 13. One back, three tight ends, right?
Right.
And you ran that out route right there. Had you guys worked on that during practice all week? Was that a designed shot to you in the end zone?
Yeah, that was a play that B.A. had put in, you know, just a four-step out. And when he called it, I knew it was open to safety. He was split in a little bit, and I said, oh, yeah, this is it. So when I ran it and made the move, Blaine put it on the money.
Mm-hmm.
It was history from there.
Mm. And for those who aren't familiar, he started the year as an undrafted rookie on the practice squad.
Yep.
Then was activated, was inactive on game day for four games. You made your NFL starting debut. You were dressed in your hometown, right, just outside Houston.
Right.
And then for you to do that and have that sort of game, three grabs, 54 yards, the two touchdown catches. And how many friends and family would you say you had in attendance?
Only four. I had my mom, dad, my brother, and his girlfriend to come to the game. But, you know, there was also a lot of family members and friends that were just there to, you know, watch the Texans play. So to be able to go out and put on a show like that, it was unbelievable. If you would have told me right before the game you're going to score two touchdowns, I'm like, man, you're crazy. You know, I was just happy to get a catch, you know, and the score too, it was unbelievable.
Now, speaking of family, Ricky, your cousin is Eric Dickerson, correct?
Right. Yes.
Okay, so, man, Eric Dickerson, what an unbelievable player he was. I actually blocked for Eric Dickerson back in a couple of Pro Bowls,
right,
as a matter of fact, okay? And actually got the ability to ride in the back of his convertible out in Honolulu. I won't tell you that story. I will not tell you that story.
Oh,
but how has Eric Dickerson actually helped you, Ricky Seals-Jones, become a better player?
A lot, you know, just someone who's been in the league and knows it, and, you know, he's someone I can call on anytime if I have problems with just, you know, life or football. You know, he's always there to just help me out. He's never steered me the wrong way. You know, he always kept it 100, and, you know, that's what I'm thankful for. You know, he's always been there for me, you know, through my ups and downs. So for him to do that, it means a lot to me.
Wow. Do you remember what you told the media? It was the next day. It was that Monday, and we asked you how many text messages you had in your phone after that game. Do you remember the number?
When I told him, it was like 1,000. Yeah, it was a lot.
It was staggering.
Man.
And you took one phone call, though. You took one phone call, and that was from the Hall of Famer, Eric Dickerson,
that's
right?
From Eric, yep.
See, man, that's what I'm saying, man. Rick, I'm going to go right now and say it. Tell him I need his autograph.
The funny thing is, when we played the Rams, he texted me and said, hey, man, I need you to ball out, but I need you to lose. And I was
amazing.
Like, hey, man, I'm a ball out, but we're going to try to get the dub. So, you know, that's just how we communicate. You know, we joke a little bit, but it's always a good time with him.
Ricky, how were you undrafted?
I think
your size, your speed, your ability, how'd that happen?
I think a lot of coaches saw me as tight end in the NFL. And
maybe you were too small to be a tight end.
And then pro day and combine, I went in as a receiver. So I think that kind of hurt me going up again. I mean, I had Juju Smith in front of me. So
right.
He runs his 40 and I run mine.
Right.
It ain't looking the same.
Looking
so
the same.
So yep. I think, you know, that's one of the roles, I guess. But honestly, it didn't bother me at all. You know, I knew what I could do. And Arizona Cardinals gave me a chance and an opportunity, and I ran off with it. So,
well, it just proves again, if you can play, you will play in the NFL. Right. They'll find you. You'll get your chance. It's the Big Red Rage. Carlos Dansby and Ricky Seals-Jones.
Shotgun snap. Mariota drops back to throw. Fires over the middle and a diving interception. Trevon Williams at the 5. He gets up and runs. He's at the 10. Morris out of the 15. Wrapped up there and brought down. Marcus Mariota throws a pick inside the 30-yard line of Arizona. The vet, Trevon Williams, with the interception.
I thought Trevon Williams played extremely well. He's a guy that's been very, very consistent. You know, his ability to read routes, he's savvy, he's physical. For a guy that's a veteran player to come in late in the process like that, again, I'm extremely proud of the way he's played.
There you go, the GM Steve Keim on with Wolf, Doug, and Wolf here, Arizona Sports 98.7 FM on Monday, talking about Trevon Williams and the fact the Cardinals had two picks in the game, won the turnover battle, and won the game, a 12-7 slugfest where the Cardinals held the Tennessee Titans to that single touchdown and 204 total yards, both seasons best by a Cardinals defense against what was a top 10 rushing attack in the NFL. Welcome back into the Big Red Rage. Carlos Dansby, Ricky Seals-Jones, and Lowe, simply put, what'd you like the most about that defensive effort against Tennessee?
How physical we played. You know, we played very physical in the run game, trying to make it one-dimensional. And we did exactly what we wanted to do as a defense, just try to take them out of that run game, man, because their run game is is pretty dynamic, you know what I'm saying? They give it to you out of different personnels, different formations, and they got two stud running backs that can hit home runs at any given time.
Los, I got to ask you about that because they were the most diverse rushing team that I have seen on tape.
Mm-hmm.
By far and away, the way they would do it, right? They would do it out of, as you said, any personnel group, right? The zone scheme, the zone read scheme, the power scheme. It didn't matter. They were doing it all. The wham blocks.
Yes.
Actually saw wham blocks with these guys. So how were you able to stop that? Why did you guys have the kind of success that you did?
I think they didn't want to make any mistakes. They didn't want to make any mistakes. So they really didn't I don't think they really gave us everything they had that they didn't show before. You know what I'm saying? They came in with a simple game plan. Look, this is what they're going to be in, and we got to beat them. And they lost.
They were number 7 in rushing yards per game and number 7 in rushing yards per play coming into that game.
Exactly.
This is a team that controls the line of scrimmage. It's how the Tennessee Titans win games, offensively and defensively, controlling the line of scrimmage. And we beat them at their own game.
We beat them at their own game. And like I said, we lined up and we played solid football from the ground up the way it's supposed to be played. And like I said, they try to keep it basic and simple against us. And hope we make a mistake, and we didn't make any mistakes. So it was a perfect game.
They had 10 yards rushing in the second half. But I remember after the game, standing in front of your locker, you said there really wasn't any massive halftime adjustment.
No, we didn't make any adjustments at all. We just came out and said, look, let's go out and execute. I'll execute these guys. You know what I'm saying? We know exactly what they want to try to do to us. They showed us how they want to try to attack us in the run game. Cornerbacks come up, make the tackles, you know what I'm saying, on the edge. And we're going to bottle these guys up and have some fun.
Well, Trevon Williams had a pick, and then Josh Bynes had the other interception. That was key, no doubt about it. After the game, Josh Bynes talking about the keys to the Cardinals' success on D.
I think everybody just bought in to what Coach was saying. Like, the team, we know we're a better team than what the record says. I think defensively, the last few games, we've just been stopping the run, definitely holding the team under 100 yards, and definitely being efficient on third down.
I mean, Ricky, if I tell you that the opponent, Jacksonville, for example, went 1 for 12 on third down, and then the Rams went 3 for 11 on third down, and then the Titans went 4 for 12 on third down, that's going to go a long way towards a Cardinals win, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Hands down. You know, when the defense comes up to play, it brings energy for us, you know, and they played all four quarters. You know, we came off first half kind of shaky. You know, we were missing plays, you know, but defense kept battling, and that's what kept us in the game. And defense came to us at halftime, like, hey, y'all get it right, you know, we got y'all back, and that's what they did the whole game.
Los, the onus really is on the defense and the special teams. I'm going to throw them in there as well. Defense and special teams to go out and win games now. I mean, the offense just being beset by all these injuries.
This December football. Yeah. December football, man. Yeah. You're going to win with your special teams and your defense.
And you know what? Special teams and defense travels, doesn't it?
Yes, sir. You have to. You have to hang your hat on those two things, man. You have to be playing at a high level on those two in those two categories, you know. And like I said, man, if we do it well, man, we can have a lot of fun. We can win a lot of ball games, and we can win out this season.
How was it trying to tackle Derrick Henry and DeMarco Murray. And because I asked Patrick Peterson today, I said, well, okay, it's week 15. How you feeling? He said, I feel great. I run around all the time. He said, go ask Carlos Dansby. He's hitting people every play. You know?
Right, right. So, man, those guys are huge, man. Them two big running backs, and they pack a punch, you know. So you got to bring your lunch pail and your hard hat. And you got to go. You got to chop them down, and you know, what I'm saying, whatever you can do to get them on the ground, you got to be able to do it.
Los, did you know that Marcus Mariota was a little nicked up in that game? Did you know that after especially Antoine Bethea leveled him?
No, I did not know.
Okay,
I did not know.
No. Okay, so it wasn't like you guys were aware of that situation right there. I guess Paulie, right, his knee was actually bothering him in that game. But
that first quarter where he took the hit, he tried to slide. Maybe he didn't see Antoine Bethea in time because he came out behind Tyrann Mathieu, and the Bethea really lit him up, and he got bent at an awkward angle. Well, that left knee, he injured it. Mm. On the sideline they were looking at it. After the game, Mike Mularkey said, yeah, he injured the knee. That was the last time he ran in the game.
Yeah.
And that was only midway through the first half.
I was shocked he kept it. You know, I'm shocked he ran in it anyway. You know, I don't know who they backup is, but you don't want to put that guy. You don't want to get him knocked out the game. You know what I'm saying? So I was kind of shocked that he kept it and ran it. And like I said, that's how the game go.
He was only 6-16 passing in the second half. And then it was funny because, well, funny for us, but he was frustrated afterwards. He cut the media short. And then came out on Wednesday because they're spending the whole week out here. And he apologized to the media because his mom gave him a talking to.
Wow.
Said, that's not the way you conduct yourself at the podium in front of the media. You know, just because you're frustrated, don't take it out on the reporters.
Right.
It's interesting how guys.
You always
listen to your mom, right?
Without a doubt.
That's the ultimate head coach.
Exactly.
Ricky,
exactly.
Who would have the bigger impact in your house? Okay, if your mom told you knock it off, or your dad?
Mom, hands down.
Hands down.
Really?
Yeah. Whatever mom.
Boy, there was no hesitation there, Ricky.
Oh yeah, mom is.
Yeah.
Number one, you don't go against her at all. So, you know, whatever she says, you're gonna do it.
By the way, you growing up in Texas and as a 5-star recruit who went to Texas A&M, what was high school like for you as a big-time football recruit? I mean, you were literally and figuratively the big man on campus, I'm guessing.
We were small ball, so, you know, I got a lot of talk about that, you know, going being 3A. And, you know, Texas, we have 6A, up to 6A, so – it was a lot of trash talking, but you know, I didn't listen to it. You know, I went out every Friday and put on a show. So you know, we never won a championship, but we always went deep. So you know, every time I was on that field Friday nights, I would try to light it up.
Mm. So the whole Friday night lights thing—that's for real in Texas.
Real. Oh, that's a real deal. Especially in my time, everything's closed down. Everyone's at the game.
Close. That's beautiful, man. That's beautiful.
I'd love to hear that.
Wolf, that is beautiful.
I want to get your take on Josh Bynes.
Okay.
I mean, how well is Josh Bynes playing? Here's a guy who's lining up on the weak side, inside, next to you.
He can play either spot. You know what I'm saying? He's playing at a high level. You know what I'm saying? That's what I expected from him.
How's he communicating? How's the communication with you guys?
Great. Like I said, we all on the same page. Man, we on the sideline, on the laptop. We get into it. Like, we understand football.
He's a vet.
He's been around.
He's seen this before.
Yes, sir.
Well, coming up next here, Ricky, if there's any doubt you're a tight end, we got proof here. One of your teammates talking about a key block you threw as a tight end that sprung him into play. We're going to get to that next. It's the Big Red Rage. Carlos Dansby, Ricky Seals-Jones, all presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center.
Chad Williams motions to the slot left. Gabbert under center. Takes the snap and gives to Williams on a jet sweep to the far side of the 20-yard line. Is at the 25, breaks a tackle, 30, 35, 40. Puts his head down, gets past the 45-yard line and out to the 47. A 32-yard run by Chad Williams showing off that great speed.
Chad Williams gets the edge, and what I love, he finished the run. He didn't run out of bounds. He dipped it and he ripped it. You gotta love that, Rook. Do it again.
No doubt. Said he'd been waiting for that all game long, and man, did that pay off in a big way. 33 yards on the jet sweep to Chad Williams. Welcome back into the Big Red Rage. Carlos Dansby and fellow rookie Ricky Seals-Jones is Chad Williams and Ricky Seals-Jones on that couple of rookies who combined. In fact, after the game, when I asked him to take us through that play, the first thing he mentioned was your block. And he was looking at you to determine which way to go, and he noticed that you had the block early on in the play, and he knew right then, right there, said Chad Williams, that it was going to hit. Is that what you saw on film?
Yeah. coming in halftime, you know, B.A. said that was one to be the first ones coming up. And I came to Chad. I said, you know, I'm going to get that block for you so you just be ready to get ghost. And B.A. called it. Safety was corner was down, safety was back. And I honestly thought pre-snap, I thought the corner was going to leave and the safety come down and fill. But he didn't. So I took the corner, chopped him down. And the rest is history.
Anytime you're a guy like yourself, Ricky, that's running down the seam, right, you're going to be a guy that's going to be called upon to block not only in space but also in line blocking when you're lined up as a tight end, right, or on the hip of another tight end, however it may be and whatever it may be. Having said that right there, what do you think you're better at this point of your career, blocking in space or in line blocking?
probably blocking his face right now because, you know, at A&M we were a spread team. So, you know, that's all we did. I was split out mostly line. We do a lot of screens. So, but, you know, I'm working on the, you know, in the trenches blocking, getting better. So,
yeah.
I think that I'm.
What do you think you have to do to get better at the inline blocking, Ricky?
Just reps, honestly. You know, you can never get enough reps. So, you know, I still go with the P squad and still work on my blocking there and just, you know, just get in the habit of, you know, being so tight, you know, footwork and knowing where the guy's going to be instead of where he's at right now. So, you know, I've been working on that a lot and I think I've improved a lot.
Are you an intensity guy? I mean, do you go out there with rage?
No.
You're kind of chill?
Yeah, I'm the calm, cool, collective guy. You can ask Lowe's in practice. I don't really say much, you know. If you talk to me, I'll talk to you, but I'm just minding my business, relaxing, you know.
See, that tells me right there he's got talent. See, the chill guys, they all have talent. The guys that didn't have talent, like myself, your intensity is way up here. Smear the eye black out just to go out there and actually be able to play, right?
Oh, yeah.
You're just chilled back because you actually have skills. Is that what you're saying?
No, that ain't what I'm saying. That's just me. So, you know, there's guys that, you know, like Los is a talker, you know, and he's a baller. So, you know, I'm more of a, you know, calm, cool, collective. Yeah. Los is the one that, you know, has the speeches ready and to get you ready.
I'm trying to remember. What did you do after you scored your first touchdown? I think you were like you acted like you were there before. Did you not?
A little bit. You know, I didn't want to get no fines. You know, I'm still a rookie, so those fines add up. So I just tried to play it cool. And then once I got to the sideline, I got a little hyped with my
team. Got a little. That's funny.
Didn't Larry fetch the football for you?
He did. He actually did. I gave it to the ref, and Larry went and got it for me. And he was like, you know, this is your first one. You can keep it.
You gotta keep it.
I was like, hey, I didn't know. You know, so first time. So you know, after the second one, the second one he did it again too. I forgot about it. So you know. That's being a great teammate. You know, Larry's been
so
in the end
you
zone.
got the ball.
Yep.
Did you paint it up? Did you get it painted up?
Yeah, I actually got it painted up. Hopefully, I think it probably comes in probably next week.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So anything special on it? Just the, you know, the score and the fact that it was your first touchdown? Is that all you put on it?
Yeah, I didn't put anything on it. I didn't know what to put on it.
It's kind of like me, Ricky. When I actually, in my 10th year, my 20th pass in the National Football League. All right, I actually got that ball painted up.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
number 20, because once you get 20, they can't take it from you.
You can't
all right?
Take
they
from
can't
me.
Ever.
I'm with you.
Is that right there?
I'm with you on Wolf.
Yeah,
I'm with
you're with
don't,
me on that.
I agree.
Don't
I agree.
Buy into his
yeah,
math.
I got my 20th. I'm getting mine painted up. I'm getting mine painted up right now. And hey,
don't dignify 20 receptions with 20 interceptions. Okay, don't compare the two.
Ricky, you get 20, they can never take that.
Oh my gosh!
Never forget that.
Back to the play because I have a feeling BA might call this play again. Here's Bruce Arians. What's the name of that play?
It's called 25 Blunt Sucker. Either you're a sucker or they're a sucker. So, you know, we luckily got him to look in the backfield.
So, how do you like that, Los?
Oh, that's amazing.
I mean,
that's an amazing name for a play, man. I promise you it is.
Hey. You've heard a lot of names of a lot of plays. That one says it all, though. It's just a perfect descriptive term for it, right?
Oh, man, sucker, man. That's I like it. I like it a lot.
It wasn't just the beginning of the play and your block that sprung Chad Williams, but it's how the play finished. And you heard how Ron Wolfley called it and how he loved it, how he dipped it and ripped it, as Wolf said. And then we asked Chad Williams about it after the game.
You made a decision not to go out of bounds. You easily could have gone out of bounds, but you didn't.
I'm not going out of bounds.
Yeah. And you had that rep coming in. I mean, you know, you're going to play a physical brand of ball, aren't you?
Yeah, I want all of it.
What like have it. You seen in practice from Chad Williams? It might be a little more revealing than we've seen in games. What's his upside?
Oh, man, his competitive attitude, his approach to practice is very competitive. He want to be able to go out and make plays, especially on the practice squad. He want to try to make us better. And he getting himself better in the process. You know what I'm saying? Going against Tyron and you got Patrick. And you got all these guys out here. You got Tremont. He going up against these guys. And he's trying to win. You know what I'm saying? Because he know if he can win against these guys, he can win when he step out on the field and with the live bullets. So I love his approach to practice. And I love his approach to the game.
You know, BA's playbook, Ricky, is notoriously hard for rookies, rookie receivers and tight ends.
Yeah.
You're sort of nodding your head.
Yeah. Yeah.
Chad Williams has talked about that. Look, veteran receivers had a hard time the first half of their first season with Bruce Arians. It's complex, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, hands down. You come in each week and there's new formations, new plays, and then on the fly, BA, if he don't like it in practice, he'll change it up right then and there. So, you know, you just kind of got to go with the flow, you know. You look at the iPad and be like, okay, this is how we run it. But you just got to keep that heads up. Like, okay, like you get in practice, BA might not like it that way and might want to run it a tad bit different.
Really? So, and if he doesn't like it, you'll know it.
Oh, yeah, hands down.
No doubt. Hey, each passing touchdown season, Wells Fargo donates money to local public schools. So the passing touchdown for schools program, Wells Fargo together will go far. It's the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford. Looking back to the right, going to throw short, caught by Betts at the 30-yard line. Great open field tackle by Dansby at the 28. That play lost 5 yards. Play fake in trouble. Campbell, Dansby is there, takes him down along with Hayes. Sacked at the 35-yard line. Brunell with the football, hands Portis up the middle. Nowhere to run. Portis drilled at the point of attack by Carlos Dansby. War Eagle at the 21.
You want to run your main guy? We know what you want to do. How does this feel? Right in.
You know, our Jim Omondra went into the archives again when Mark Brunell was at quarterback.
Wow.
And Clinton Portis
was a tailback. Yeah. I mean, that's a while back.
I mean, what in the Sam name of Mark Rippon or Doug Williams is going on? Sonny Jurgensen, what's going on here with all these, you know.
What year that was, man? That had to be like 04 or 05. Had to be. 05. I knew it.
You know, Los, when Bertrand Berry was the host, and, you know, we've had Larry Foote up here, your coach now, you know, they would always talk about the old guy jokes they get in the locker room.
Oh.
How about you at this point?
Oh, man, I'm getting them all, man. It don't never stop. It never stop, man. Call me OG, triple OG.
triple OG.
Uncle. You know uncle. What I'm saying? I'm getting it all, man. I'm getting all the old jokes. That's, it's beautiful, man. It's a beautiful thing.
Well, speaking of names, I went and highlighted this on your sheet. Can you pronounce the name of the primary running back for the Redskins these days?
Oh, no, I can't pronounce that. Is it Samaje?
No, it's Samaje.
Samaje.
Samaje. Samaje. Well, do you know how to say the last name?
Okay, well, hold it right there, Wolf, because you went down swinging.
Man,
Wolf gave it a college try on Bruce Arians' TV show, Flight Plan. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and roll the tape, guys.
What about Samaje? I want to get this right. Samaje Perine, their running back.
P. Ryan.
How about that, Coach? P. Ryan.
Yes.
Tell me about this guy. What are you seeing on film?
Loved him coming out of Oklahoma. Thick back with great feet. Not great speed, but he's the all-time leading rusher in Oklahoma history, so he's pretty solid.
All right, Wolf, the red light's on. You get a second chance. What's the name again?
Samaje Perine.
There you go. Nice.
Perine.
Okay. I can't believe this guy is the leading rusher in Oklahoma history.
That's saying something.
Yeah.
I mean, I think of Marcus Dupree immediately.
Billy Sims. I mean, come on.
Wow.
That's serious.
Those are some legends there.
Well, here's the deal. I guess people are learning his name the hard way. In fact, you know, if you go out on the internet, there's sort of an instructive video that will help you out with the pronunciation. And, well, it goes something like this.
My name is not Samaje Perine. My name is Samaje Perine. My name is not Samaje Perine. My name is Samaje Perine. S-A-M-A-J-E-P-E-R-I-N-E. S-A-M-A-J-E. But my last name is not Perine. My name is not Samaje Perine. My name's Samaje.
Samaje.
Perine.
Perine.
My name is not Samaje Perine.
So, when you're on the field Sunday, that's going to stick with you, I bet. Oh, yeah. That song right there.
Yeah, that's amazing. That is amazing. It reminds me of the 85 Bears when they went in there and they did their little routine.
Super Bowl Shuffle.
Oh, man, Super Bowl Shuffle, man. That it just took me right back there. It did, real fast.
That was actually kind of catchy right now, right? I'm just, you know what I was happy about, guys? That somebody else butchered it as well. Somebody obviously called him Perine, just like I did, right? My name is not Samaje Perine. At least somebody else called him that.
Somebody's got a lot of time on their hands. Whoever the author of that song was, exactly not sure. What do you make of the Washington Redskins offense? Let's just give us a quick overview, a couple of takeaways, what you've seen on film so far.
Very dynamic. It comes from that trio with the Atlanta Falcons, the Rams. They're kind of offense. You know what I'm saying? They're going to zone you. They're going to boot you. They're going to hit you with a couple screens. You know what I'm saying? And hope you make a mistake. You know what I'm saying? And like I said, they from the same tree, man. And they got an explosive offense. And like I said, they just haven't put it all together yet.
Now, when you say they're going to zone you, talk about their rushing attack in particular. The type of personnel groups they like to run it out. I mean, 11 personnel is just dominant.
That's their dominant offense personnel. Because like I said, they got all their weapons on the field at the same time. So they want to be able to run the ball, throw the ball, boot you. Get the tight end up the seam, run out and ups on you. You know, you just got to be on top of your game, man. You got to make sure you play technique sound.
If they're going to run the ball, what else are they going to do other than the stretch, other than the tackle zone?
They'll run a trap every now and again. You know what I'm saying? They'll run a lot of sweeps. They'll pull guards, pull tackles, pull centers. You know what I'm saying? So, like I said, you got to beat technique sound.
I saw him actually run the counter tray.
Yeah.
The old counter tray. Do you know what I'm talking about,
yes,
right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Pulling the offside guard and tackle.
Yes, sir.
The guard kicks out.
And had a receiver come down and seal the backside.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
So they're going to run the counter tray.
Yeah. We'll see it. We'll definitely see it come Sunday. We're looking forward to it.
It goes all the way back to Joe Gibbs, man.
Yes, sir. The Hogs. Yes, sir.
What about Kirk Cousins? Have you played against him before?
I have. Very dynamic quarterback, got a strong arm. He gets the ball out fast. And like I said, sometimes he'll hold it. And if you get a chance to get him to hold the ball, you got a chance to disrupt him and make him, and like I said, make plays on the ball.
Boy, that really is right on it right there too, right? I mean, this guy is a rhythm and timing type quarterback, right? If he can get the ball, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, go through his primary and boom. This is a guy that he's really, really good. But you get him off schedule, now all of a sudden he's got some problems. That offensive line's really beat up for the Redskins, right?
Yes, sir. They got pieces all over the place right now. And they mixing guys in and out. And like I said, hopefully we can take advantage of them.
You know who's not going to feel any empathy for them? The Arizona Cardinals.
None. Absolutely none.
Right, Paul.
13 players in IR, 7 starters in IR. And now, Ricky, I mean, you have a new left tackle and the rookie Will Holden. Evan Bame is back at right guard. It's going to be the 7th different offensive line combination this season. Just give us a sense, the vibe, the mood on offense when you guys are hit by all these injuries.
I mean, it's part of the game, honestly. You know, the next man's got to be ready. And I think Will's ready. You know, he's been waiting his opportunity, so he'll get to go out and showcase it. So, you know, we got a lot of plays where, you know, we're going to help him out whacking when we go out. But, you know, I think he can handle his own. And, Bowen, he's been there. He knows what to do. So, you know, all those guys, we come in the huddle, you know, they're excited. They're ready to go. So we're just going to go out there and handle our business, take care of business, and put on a show.
And just like the Cardinals are going to test some of their backup offensive linemen, he's got to expect to be tested. You know Washington is going to spotlight him, right?
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt, man. They're going to come in rowdy and ready to play. Try to get a win at home. And like I said, we got to go in and impose our will.
Very interesting to see how things transpire. We know that he got a game action earlier at left guard. Now he's going to be out at left tackle. And look, the Cardinals still ran the ball last week. 136 yards rushing.
Yep.
Still ran the ball on the number 3 ranked run defense.
Yep.
And Kerwin Williams, he's getting some confidence going. Do you see him must have moved in the locker room this week? He's in there.
Yeah, man.
He's feeling good. You know,
good,
even
man.
With the cracked ribs, it's been a pleasure to watch him work. No doubt he had some Big Red Rage karma coming off his appearance here on the show. It is the Big Red Rage. Carlos Danzi, Ricky Seals-Jones. We roll on, all presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center.
Banks will work from the shotgun right now. Three wide receivers. Cardinals back out of what they're showing as a blitz and send four after Banks. All kinds of time. Pass is intercepted. Heading down the far sideline is Adrian Wilson. To the 30, to the 20, to the 10, to the 5. He scores.
One of my favorite players, Adrian Wilson, this defense, young defense, is stepping up to the plate.
Wow, that is 2001. That was the first career pick six for a former host of the Big Red Rage, Adrian Wilson. That was the final game of the 2001 season. Also the final game in the career of Pat Tillman. As we all know, he joined the military soon after. It is the Big Red Rage with Carlos Dansby, special guest Ricky Seals-Jones, Ron Wolfley, Paul Calvisi here. And look, this is a series that goes back to 1932. Cardinals looking for their first win in D.C. since 1998.
Wow.
And you guys might have to deal with a little bit of weather. Obviously, there's going to be crowd noise. That'll impact the offense, obviously. But, I mean, tell us about some of the challenges. And here's the other thing, Los, and you know this. When the Cardinals have gone on the road and gone east in that early game, they are 1-3 this year. Mm-hmm. What is the challenge of that, a West Coast team going east?
We just got to go out and play, man. I think we can't look into that part of it right now. We're a different team, different mindset, different focus. So we got to take that, and we got to go hang our hat on that. You know what I'm saying? The way we've been playing the last 3 to 4 weeks, man, it's been showing week in and week out that we pause and we're ready to make this run. So if we're ready to make this run, we're going to have to win on the road. We're going to have to do it on the road. There's no ifs, ands, and buts about it. So this is our perfect opportunity for us to go out and get a win on the road.
Do you talk to guys about this, early start once again?
I already jumped the gun, man. This is some of my preparation. Just getting ready to let the guys know where we at and how we got to view this opportunity that we have.
What about the weather, guys? I mean, does it bother you, the thought that you might be playing in cold weather, Ricky?
No.
That doesn't bother you in the least?
No, not at all. I mean, it's a mindset. I'm going to go out there and know that the guy in front of me, I'm going to punch him in the mouth. And, you know, I'm going to beat you. So weather doesn't play a factor in it, I don't think. You know, if you go out there and play ball, you know, you're going to warm up. So
is there an optimum temperature, Los, that you like to play at?
In our stadium.
So you like it like 72. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, man. We're playing our stadium any day of the week. I'm loving every second of that. But, you know, going out there playing in the cold, man, like I said, it's a mindset type thing. And like I said, we're going to have to win on the road. We went out. We let the chips fall where they may.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have to go on the road. That's just what it is. And we got to prime ourselves and get ready for it right now.
You haven't given up on the playoffs, have you?
Oh, man, without a doubt. No. 9-7, man. We did
you
it
before. You feel the same way, Ricky?
Yeah. I feel like we still got a chance. You know?
Yeah.
If we went out, you know, let the chips fall, like Lo said, and we'll go from there.
Well, here's the playoff formula real quick.
Mm-hmm.
If you lose, you're out, obviously. If Seattle wins, the Cardinals are out. Mm-hmm. If you win and Seattle loses, but Carolina and Atlanta win, the Cardinals are out. So there's a lot of moving parts right here.
Mm-hmm.
It's still mathematically possible, you know, realistically possible. Well, that's everyone's opinion.
Yeah, you got to have faith, man. Yeah. You got to have faith.
But you've been there and done that before.
Yes, sir.
At 9-7.
There you go. We get in, we win.
There it is.
Speaking of cold weather games, by the way, I mean, the games you played for the Browns and the Bengals,
mm-hmm.
and even when you were in Miami, you had to go north in the AFC East.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're no stranger to cold weather games.
Oh, not at all. Throw some sweet sweat on and go play football.
See, I like to write it, you know, 38 to 42 degrees, somewhere in there. That's what I love, 38 to 42. Not freezing, of course, right? Not where it's freezing, but where it's so cold. Where a guy running a 4.3 might tighten up a little bit, you know what I mean? Because that was always some problem. That created some trouble, if you know what I mean.
Exactly.
Hey, Ricky, when this guy is given the pregame pep talk out on the field, the final time before you go into the locker room, and I see guys reacting, and man, I just see it from the press box or I see it from the field, and the passion that he's bringing, tell me what that does for other players.
It gets them going, honestly, you know. You got to listen to him. He's a vet. You know, he's been here. He's been in these games, these situations. So, you know, when you have a guy that giving out, you know, that knowledge and that passion, you have nothing else but to listen and tone in and get ready for it. You know, it puts a little spark in me, you know what I'm saying? It gets me ready for what we about to go do, and that's war. So, you know, I look forward to him, you know. So, and a lot of guys do.
Well, here's one last piece of motivation. You realize the Redskins are 3-0 against the NFC West. They've already beaten the Rams, the Seahawks, and the Niners. You guys got to represent the NFC. You can't let the Redskins go 4-0 against the division.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. That's it. We got to go out and we got to play football, man. They got explosive offense. We got to go out and make it one-dimensional and win the ball game.
Hey, Jim Omohundro, Walt Ellis, Cody Fincher, thank you very much, everyone. Carlos Dansby, Ricky Seals-Jones, the Big Red Rage, all presented by Santan Ford.
You've been listening to the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford in Gilbert. We are Santan Ford. University of Phoenix, the official education partner of the Arizona Cardinals.
One, two, three, let's go!
And by Hickman's Family Farms, providing local fresh eggs to markets since 1944. Visit us online at hickmanseggs.com.
Woo! What's up, boy?
This has been an exclusive presentation of the Arizona Cardinals Football Club.